Honey, what is it we said? You want to say the word pray? We want to thank God for what He's done. For bringing us all the way to the cornerstone. Alright. Testing. Alright. Just let us pray. If you would like to, sit down. You're welcome to do that. If you want to sit, you want to stand. Whatever you want to do. This time we go ahead and pray. Almighty God, we come before you. Thank you, God, for this time. Lord, it's good to be in your presence. It's good to be present in one another. Thank you, God, for all the work put into the leadership, the board, with every member, with the transition from the old to the new building. Lord, we thank you, God, for the management. We thank you for all the landlords. I know that was one of my prayers this year, God. We'll have a smooth transition. And thank you, God, even just for the budget, that we can bring you glory in all the money we use, God, to be your glory, Lord, and not for us. Thank you, God, for our people who are visiting from Baltimore and Philadelphia and Lansing, Chicago, all over the place, Lord. I thank you so much for visitors. Thank you, God, for us here to be able to worship you. Lord, as we look at the book of Isaiah this morning, as we talk about church, as we talk about, as we define church and how we live, Lord, help us to look at Isaiah, the words of Jesus, that we can connect, that we can be the people you want us to be. Thank you, God, for this morning. In His name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We have good news. And there's a girl in this room who came to church when she was 10 years old. She was in Kids Kingdom. And she was very faithful, came to all the meetings, all the classes. And before you know it, she started becoming a young lady. And this lady started learning the Bible 2 years ago, on and off, during many camps. And the last camp, she decided, that's it. Okay, this is the year, this is the time. I'm going to study the Bible, I'm going to make the change. So today, let's give Lauren McLuffin to get baptized. It's going to be our place in the evening, so we're going to have a baptism in the backyard. Alright. How are you feeling today?
Good.
Are you excited? I'm going to ask you, Tucson, how do you feel about being back in class on Sunday? he's in class every day, and now he loves going to class on Sunday too. And learn the Bible. So it's going to be exciting. I'm excited to be talking to you. Joan, you can have to go. So we're going to look at today, turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 2. Before that, I want to tell somebody about the ribs and the missions. We had a tremendous time last week. And we got to give a hand to all the cookers. We had 7 people up there. They gave their hearts. And they're all looking at, except Alicia, everybody's looking at, tell me I'm a winner! It's so funny. And look at Chris. Look like, oh, I don't want. But in the end of the day, we don't want. But I gotta say something about Tyson and Chris. Because they just decided on the last minute to join, to buy a bunch of ribs, and I believe they cooked all Saturday night. And I think God bless you, and he was a runner up before he took the title. So it was awesome. Keep it up, guys. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah chapter 2. It's a time 700 years before Christ came. And he was a major prophet prophesying that Christ is going to come the church is going to come, it's going to be established. And today, I want to look at a few prophecies in the book of Isaiah and how it talks about Jesus, and talks about how the church needs to be, and how you and I fit into that equation. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1, this is what Isaiah son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the last days. The mountain of the Lord, the Lord's temple, will be established as chief among the mountains. It'll be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that he may walk in his path. The law will go up from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. He'll beat the sword and plowshares and the spears and pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. I wish we could say that about today. But it's so sad today that many nations are preparing for war. That was not God's heart. God wanted peace. He wanted to send his son, Jesus Christ, to come to give hope. In Acts chapter 1, it talks about the prophecy being fulfilled in Acts chapter 1 after his resurrection. If you want to turn with me, Acts 1 verse 6. So when they met together 40 days after the resurrection, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? I mean, think about it. 3 years gone by, they're hanging out all together, and now this guy, all these disciples are saying, well, are you going to be, now that he's the king, are you going to establish the kingdom? Wrong question, but different answer. Let's look at that. He said to them, it is not for you to know the time and dates the Father set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes unto you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we know the story in Acts 1 and chapter 2. As all the nations stream together, they stream together on the day of Pentecost, and then a power was shown, and Peter and all the disciples that preached the word. All the nations came together. There was peace. Everybody heard the same message from Peter. Many people streamed into Jerusalem. And the word of God went out. God's heart to bring about peace and joy in your heart. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 2 that people will stream. You know, don't you love the internet these days? You want to get connected, Wi-Fi, wherever we go. We don't like slow anymore. Before we're like, God, give me internet. Now we got internet. Now we want fast. We want it streamed in. That's how God envisions the church. But somebody got to say, come. In Isaiah chapter 2, many people will say, the moms of the Lord, because it's established. I'm proud of the church here. It took 17 years to be established by the church set up by Detroit. Many folks came. And God wants many people to come streaming. But it's going to take everyone in this room having that heart of God and fulfilling the prophecy. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4 verse 2, in that day the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land will be the pride and glory of the survivors in Israel. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy. All who are recorded among the living in Jerusalem. The Lord will wash away the filth of the women of Zion. He will cleanse the bloodstains of Jerusalem by a spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire. Then the Lord will create over all the Mount Zion and over those assembled there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over all the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and a shade from the heat of the day, and a refuge and a hiding place from the storm and rain. God is prophesying it's going to come. The church is going to be established. It's going to be a shelter. It's going to be a canopy. It's going to be a hiding place. It's going to be a refuge from the storms of life, from the rain. He's going to protect you. I look at my life. I look at a lot of lives in the world. Those who put their refuge in God is being sheltered by God. But those who didn't put their refuge in God, they didn't have a shelter. Even though God is watching over the whole world, He's inspiring them to follow. You know, there's another sister here who moved from Hampton Roads. Let's welcome Holly Wood. Join us. She just got baptized 3 weeks ago. She's so excited and fired up. She felt like Matt. She just streamed in. She told her dad, she told her friends, brought many people so far, a few, to the Lord because of the joy and excitement. She feels sheltered by God's power and by the storm she rather than the Lord. And I really believe that when we are excited about God being shared. And I want to encourage the church as we move into this new location, as we're going to be here for a while. I don't know if you're so out in the summer. Yeah, I think you're going to get this place filled up. But the tents are almost filled up. I believe it's 100 seats. So we gotta kind of predict. We gotta give them 3 month notice. Hopefully they won't give us enough. But we gotta predict how many people can really fit in here. I don't know if we're gonna bring in more chairs in here, but I don't know. Hazard, whatever. But we'll figure this out. But the point is, sometimes we have qualms and quite a reservation and should I invite my professor or my teacher or my neighbor or my dad or my mom or my stepdad or my other daughter down the city? What should I do? And we tend to put filters. Oh, I don't think my dad will ever love church. I don't think my mom will ever. They're bored. Because you're looking at the lens of the old. I did that with my own mom for many years, over 30 years. And I had to keep changing my lens about my old mom. And since my dad passed away last year, God is working powerfully in our family, in my mom's life. And we had the privilege to take my mom to church. You read the India with them. And even on that day, the champagne a couple of weeks ago, that there was a curfew in the city and they closed down the city, and Satan was really working hard to block people from coming to church. But I go by the scriptures and I'm by the state, by the government. I see the Bible. I said, you know what? We got a church established in a city, in my hometown. I'm going to tell everybody. And many people will scream, and I will tell. It's up to them. Because I got to go by the Bible and not what the government says on the media every single day. How are you moving?
Amen. Yes.
Mom, you come to church. I'm taking you, I'm driving you. And you know what's so awesome? I've never seen my mom's heart so soft in there. She's giving hugs to everybody. Everybody's giving hugs to her. She wants to be in every picture. She was so loved by the disciples in that city. They took care of her. They helped her. You know, Saji and Shiva, you know, they're the couple going to come this Wednesday at midweek. They're going to be sharing their lives. They have the same city as my mom. They took care of her as their own mom. It's funny. I know that's how that works. It's not funny, but it's serious stuff. Saji's mom and my mom has the same name. And Saji's dad also passed away a year before my dad. Now, so my mom's name is Leela. Some people say Leela, but Leela Ma. Okay, like you respect. Okay. So both Leela Ma's were comforting and consoling each other. And my mom was all alone, and then Saji's mom just went over and they stayed together. I mean, that was so beautiful. I love it. Saji's mom became a disciple. But that's how scriptures work. If somebody got to say, come. Yeah. And God does the rest. And I think sometimes in our human nature, we try to calculate how people need to come to church and how they got to study the Bible and how they got to come and how they got to, you know, we just analyzing every detail. I think we should not do that, church. Yeah. All we have to say, business. All you have to say, come. In our language, back home, they say, bah. Come. Appreciate Sal inspiring many people from Calvin to come. We got a Bible talk going on in this apartment. Yesterday was beautiful. The last couple of days, I know first and some of the campus students went out of Cornerstone. Come to that building right in front of the clock tower. It's going to be good. They're going to pack this place up. Another exciting thing. You all know Rachel loves, right? God put in my heart to come and be in the city for a 1-year challenge. No one ever said one word. Except me. Is that God or what? She went to ICMC with Sean and had a great time down in Carolina. And said, I'm going. She can go anywhere in the world. She went to South Africa. She went to different parts of the world. She wanted to go anywhere. But she said, you know what? I need to go help the Grand Rapids campus ministry. Isn't that awesome or what? Hello?
Yes.
We get control by what people say. We're excited, actually. So we don't know how to express it. I'm excited. I'm excited. Lauren. I got too many Lauren. I got to call Lauren Jr. Isaiah chapter 6. Another prophecy that Christ discovered. You may be familiar with Isaiah prophet being invited by the Lord. In verse 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Right before that, he was really down and crooked out. And he told God Almighty, hey, you know what? I'm guilty and I'm living in a place with unclean lips and people are evil and they're liars and all that. And God touched his heart and God said, whom shall I send? And he said, here, my son, me. And this is the message. He said in verse 9, go tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding. Be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of the people calloused. Make the ears dull and close your eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Then I said, for how long, Lord? What a question. So I was like, how long should I preach, Lord? I'm ready to preach. Sometimes we do that in the church too. How long should I preach? People in the ministry, I train, and I go, how long should I preach in the ministry of that city? People ask that question. They think it's a contract. It should be a lifestyle. Paul tells Timothy, What did you say? Preach in season, out of season. Be faithful, be patient. Did you ever ask yourself, how long should I share my faith? I did it as a campus student, maybe. Maybe I did it 5 years ago, 2 years ago, a year ago, a month ago. How long should we do it? As long as there's unfeeling roots in this world. As long as there's evil in this world. Till we die. Good brothers and sisters, I got a message. We got a message. And I preach about it often. Either you've got the message and you're helping other people, or you don't have the message and you're getting help. Teach me so I can teach other people. That is the Christianity I see in the Bible. I don't see any other Christianity in the Bible. It does not say anywhere in the Bible every Sunday morning, go out and just wear your face. Say hi to everybody and go home. No, he said, you gotta live it up. Come follow me every single day.
Yeah.
If you want to do it, if you want to follow me, he gives you the choice. He gives you the choice. And he goes on and tells them to keep on preaching. In chapter 7, you look at one more prophecy. The sign of the Emmanuel, chapter 7, we go down in the paragraph, in verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether the deep is death on the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of man? Will you try the patience of my God? Also, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, the virgin will be with child, and will give your birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey, and when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. And it goes on, the rest of the paragraph, it talks about what he's going to do. Isaiah is saying in 700 years, Christ is going to come. He's going to come and establish. He's going to preach the word. God is with him. In the Old Testament, God worked directly. When Christ came, it was through Christ. Imagine, God is with him. But once you and I have the message of God, then it's up to us to go and inspire. How do we feel in the church? Share. You know, having a good time with singles yesterday. You're going around and if you walk with God loves you and how you feel loved by God. I thought it was great. I felt like being single. Great job, Chris, for a few minutes. Well, it's good to go around and everybody sharing about how God touched their heart, and I appreciate you sharing and how she was traveling and she was on the flight and God put a certain person she knew 70 years ago and she's inspiring them to come to church. That's the heart. Where will we go? We just share about God. Next week, September 10th, we have a grand opening here. I want to encourage you to inspire one human being in Grand Rapids. One, just one. I think if all of us really go this way, you may have to go with each other. What do you think, church? I'm talking to the church now. Yeah. How do you feel about inspiring somebody? We get a lot of confidence. All you have to do is say, hey, come. You don't need to preach, you don't need to teach. They won't study the Bible. I had to do that. And God's putting people in your life. Even yesterday, we were outside the South of Africa, and I saw from somebody from Honduras, right? Yeah, I said, hey, come on. I told him, bring me.
Yeah.
Come. I said, come on, start that meeting. you know, whatever. I mean, I'm trying to spot, I learn the language a little bit. I mean, I see that, the Joel take over into the Bible study, right? Things gotta come. And we have so much of challenge in this room. And I'm proud of the singles ministry. We finally have a singles ministry. Amen to that.
Amen.
Let's go to the next slide in Matthew chapter 3. We're going to look at four scriptures in Matthew, and then we'll take the bread and wine together. These are the topics we're going to cover this year. We're going to talk about Jesus, returning to his temple. We're going to talk about discipleship and triads by the end of the month. We're going to talk about God's love. We're going to talk about our hearts that we are one, even though we have different sizes and shapes. We're all one. In November, we're going to talk about all nations. And I'm hoping and praying that we'll pack up this place. Hopefully, we can have potluck. Pray. I'm praying that. I'm praying for a cafeteria or a banquet somewhere. Okay? That after church, we can all have food. Alright? I'm praying for the conference hall next door. That's a banking place. So we gotta pray for that conference hall. Yeah? And then in December, we're just gonna celebrate. That's it. Just gonna celebrate. I don't know what we're gonna do, we're just gonna get celebrated. So we got some ideas. Talk to Joy, watch all the ideas. Talk to Sean on campus. Talk to Sarah and Jeff. Just be able to celebrate. Singles, talk to Chris and Laura. Just gonna celebrate. That's all you want. We got a variable assignment. Just gotta celebrate. And I've been thinking about that too. But when you said it, we're gonna celebrate. We just celebrated December what God has done. And hopefully we can do it through a banquet, maybe a celebration. Maybe just having dinner together, enjoying each other's company, maybe a talent show, maybe some music, whatever. Just having some good old fellowship time. Amen to that?
Amen.
In Matthew 3, we look at four scriptures very quickly. If you want to write this down, you're going to go fast. Matthew 3, 1 to 3. Matthew 4, 12 to 16. Matthew 12, 18 to 21, and Matthew 13, 14 and 15. And these are all prophecies being fulfilled, what Isaiah talked about. So let's look at Matthew chapter 3. Are we there?
Yeah.
In verse 1, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. It was one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." Isaiah prophesied that not just about Christ, but that John the Baptist would come and get the way ready for Christ. Isn't it beautiful that John the Baptist comes and fulfills the prophecy? But a lot of scriptures in the Bible where you and I can fulfill. Loving one another. You'll be my friends when you love one another. When you love each other, you become Jesus' friends. There's so many scriptures in the Bible. We can actually fulfill God's heart. Matthew 4, 12 to 16, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee, leaving Nazareth. He ran and lived in Capernaum, which is by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, and light has dawned. Christ came in to fulfill that scripture in the book of Isaiah. Jesus is bringing light to a lost world. How did you feel when you were studying the Bible? I remember I was feeling like I was in the dark. Because I was involved in a lot of sin.
Selfishness, money,
running after vision. And when I studied the Bible, I saw lightning shine. I saw hope. And I think the same way with you, I'm sure you saw hope. Like, man, I want to change my life. And I can finally stop lying. I was sharing with somebody in a Bible study yesterday. Me and Sal were sitting with a student, and Calvin had a Bible study. I said, you know what? I changed. I lied to my dad and mom every single day for 20 years. I was a liar. And you were wrong. I go to church, but I lie. Because I thought I could never change. But when I studied the Bible, I saw the light being dawned in my heart. That I don't have to lie anymore. I don't need to please people anymore. I don't need to be accepted by people anymore. Isn't that why people lie? To look good. They can't be themselves. What if I never repent? Man, I'd be lying to Pam every single day. Maybe I don't meet Pam. I don't know. But I'd be a liar husband. And one fine day, my honey or whoever she is will find me out and say, you know what? You said you're going to be in that place and then you were at the nightclub. How dare you? Bang, I'm out of here. That would have happened. Yeah, good luck. I will be hard-hearted and righteous. Praise God for the word of God. And I want to encourage the church. If you know people who love God and God's word, show the light. Have a Bible study. Maybe they're not free on Sunday, but have a Bible study. Initiate. Talk to them. If you're not comfortable in holding the whole thing, put the whole form. Everybody got that. You can search and do it. Share a scripture. Maybe a prayer. Can I pray for you? When people know that you are in the light, they feel they are in the dark, they will be open to you. They will share. They will open up. They see you being happy. They see you excited. What are you so excited about? God. Which God? I call the same God. Well, God says you can have happiness and joy and get all the junk out. Matthew 12.
There's another scripture that was coming to me immediately after that time. Jesus came to preach, repent of the kingdom of heaven and the earth.
But in Matthew 12, 18 to 21, verse 17, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. At Bruce Reed, he will not break smoldering wick. He will not snuff out till he leads justice to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. Why do we see so many countries arguing, fighting, can't get along? And we feel the burden sometimes. We feel like something is going to happen. We thought that a nuclear blast was going to come up to the island of the wall. I had my cousin there. He's putting all over Facebook. We didn't know what was going to happen. I was on the mission field. But war can happen anywhere. People have bad attitudes. They have anger issues. It's because they have no hope. In the same way, why people don't go to church, they lost hope. Why they don't want to come? Why they don't want to fellowship anymore? I know this. They have bad drama in the past. Why people don't want to get divorced? I'm sorry, get married. They just had a bad drama. Drugs just really give hope to so many people. So many people in our city. Because Christ said it. Not because I said it. Because Christ said it. And finally, in Matthew 13, we close it up, we'll pray. Washington 13:10, the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and you'll have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them." The exact words back in the book of Isaiah. You know, God wants to fulfill all the prophecies from the Old Testament into the New Testament and move into it. Now, I have a sister, next slide. She was living in a place in India with tons of problems. No happiness, no hope, no joy, no connection with the kids, with the dad, the husband, the family. She's living in a close kind of life. But Rama, they call her Rama Anti, she decided to leave all her family traditions. That's huge for somebody from a very Hindu background. They even have a room full of idols. They have a room to go worship, full of idols. And one day she said, "Well, my daughter became a Christian, so I'm going to study the Bible and I'm going to change." And the whole, her whole family, she got so many friends, very prominent family. Everybody persecuted, and the husband. But when she studied the Bible, and she opened her heart, she said, "You know what? God's going to give me hope and joy. I'm going to change my life." And today, she has two Bible study groups with 30 women coming. Mm-hmm. 30! She's telling all the sisters in the church, "Come, start studying with them. Awesome." We had the privilege to go out of there and I did a message there. They're so good hearted people. They haven't even read the Bible! They don't even know what Bible is. They had to teach them ABC of the Bible. That's easy, right? To teach somebody ABC. But I love her spirit because she found hope in Christ, in joy, in Christ. That's what it is. Father, we come before you, Lord. We thank you for this evening, this morning, for this afternoon. Lord, we thank you so much for the light dawn in our hearts. God, I pray that everyone in this room will make a decision to talk about their hearts, if there's any darkness in their hearts that they will talk about, and get the junk out, and be able to take responsibility and not be a victim of this world or in any relationship. But God, help us be the light here in Cornerstone and Beltline and Grand Rapids, Lord. Help us to be, take that light firmly and just say, "Come. Come to the mountain of the Lord. Come and hear the word. Come study the word." God, as we take the bread and the wine, help us, God, to remember your suffering, your dying, the resurrection. Thank you, God, for willing to do that. Thank you, God, for willing to sending your son, willing to die, willing to take the pain and the rejection. God, thank you so much for this time that we can give you praise, honor, and glory. And in his name we pray. Amen. Amen.